The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
What I want to talk about now, though, is this scheme in the UK. I think Iceland, the big supermarket, are central to it initially. And it's that people who are handed down a prison sentence, a conviction and a custodial sentence, instead of going to prison, they might be able to work in the supermarket. Now, the idea is that, well, it deals with prison overcrowding, which is a problem that they're dealing with. We deal with it here too. But also, they say, it will help integrate people back into society and rehabilitate them, gives them a purpose, gives them a job, helps them get back on their own two feet. And there's a hope it would be expanded in the UK if successful. So should we do something similar here? What supports are available? Willa White is going to explain all. Willa is a comedian and lots of you will know him in That Guys, but of course spent time in prison. So Willa, let's start with that. Forget the overcrowding for a minute. Rehabilitation and reintegration. I mean, what's it like when you walk out the door, say it's Mountjoy, you're on the North Circular Road, you're standing there and you're facing this prospect of having to rebuild your life?
Yeah, it's very real and it's very daunting when you get outside that gate, because you've got a lot of decisions to make, you know. I, personally, from my experience, the last time I got out was a completely different ball game. I was in a different mindset. I'd kind of addressed me demons and looked after me addiction and kind of got on a 12-step program. So my thinking at that time getting out was taking the right road rather than taking the wrong road. But I just know for so many fellas, myself included in the past, that when you do come out, it's very, very hard as an ex-prisoner to get yourself back into mainstream society work, whatever that work might be. A lot of companies will frown upon, you know, that you have a criminal record. First thing they're thinking is a trust issue. Well, if he's been to prison, he's obviously not been trustworthy. He's, you know, he's probably not reliable. He's probably not all the things that you should be when applying for a job, no matter where you go. So I don't think it really does enough. I was speaking to a friend of mine and I was saying, and I spoke about this a while ago on Frontline on RTE, that I would love to see the government start up a pilot scheme where there's enough empty properties out there. And I know that's a completely different issue, but I mean, if one of them properties was availed of and three people, the likes of myself, that have had lived experience of been to prison, you know, have worn the T-shirt, know what it's like, have been back out in the public for the last, say, 10 years with no criminal convictions, been pillars of the society, contributing, giving back a little bit more, that we could get trained in one of these houses and have 10 prisoners come to the house, avail of life skills, like first and foremost of, you know, learning how to cook and learning how to clean. Some of these prisoners have been caught up in addiction for years and don't know any of these type of life skills. Get their medical care looked after, whether there's something wrong with their teeth or whether there's something wrong with their health, getting them onto a 12-step program, whether that's NA, AA, GA, and, you know, when they do 90 meetings in 90 days, having an aftercare, looking after themselves, relapse prevention, and then having 10 companies, say, come on board that are willing to give these people a second chance at going to work. And if it works out for them with that particular company, say on a 6-month trial basis, it will give you the opportunity then to get a job and go back into mainstream society, you know, and into a living accommodation probably with someone else from that program, and you come back to where you came from, the house that's there with the 10, you know, prisoners in it, and just check in once a week for aftercare and to see how you're getting on.
So does any of that happen already? I mean, what supports are made available to you when you walk out?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
None of that is available.
Right.
And I think personally that it's a lot cheaper for starters, because I think it's €90,000 to keep a prisoner in prison a year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you had 10 of them in that house, it'd like, do the maths on that.
I know, it's a funny one, isn't it, though? The public, they hate the idea of investing money into the future of people who commit a crime. Yet, you know, investing the money, it not only does it help them turn their life around, it saves the taxpayer money in the long run. There's something inside people, I think, they just think,
100%. Well, I mean, even if only 20% of them were to come true was going to get through and do and go back into society and contribute and pay tax and get back on the workforce and, you know, and contribute to society somewhat, so what to speak, rather than take from it, I think it's a win-win situation. Yeah. Like, I personally do. I mean, like, what is prison doing for somebody? There's not enough beds in prison at the moment. I mean, I was in prison in 1997. It was overcrowded. It's still overcrowded. Yeah. There's not enough amenities in there to help people. There's school, but when you've got more people in the prison and there's only a certain amount of spaces in the school, then that becomes congested and becomes literally impossible for someone to get a school course. All the workshops in the prison are shut at the moment, like woodwork, metalwork, fabric shop. So all that you're really available to do in a work sense is you're either a cleaner, you either work in the bakery, you work in the kitchen, or you work in reception or the laundry. And them spaces are usually all taken up by long-term prisoners.
Yeah.
Fellas that are in probably, you know, doing 5 years plus and a lot of lifers. So then you're left with an overcrowded population. When it's overcrowded, people get resentful, people get angry. And with the resentfulness and the anger turns violence. And that's what happens. And whether it's a prisoner that gets it or whether it's a prison officer that gets it, it's going to spill out somewhere.
Yeah, I remember I was in Norway a few years ago. We visited this prison and it was kind of an experiment. They treat the prisoners unbelievably well. Like, it's a really nice prison. As prisons go, it's still a prison.
Yeah,
you're still locked up behind 20-foot walls at the end of the day. But they treat them really well. And the level of reoffending is tiny when they come out because they get all that training and they get all those supports and it's all about preparing them. And despite those levels being really low, it's still controversial because people like the idea of the prisoners being piled into the cell and slopping out. There's something that I just... Do you know that... Not that people are attracted to that idea, but they kind of like the idea of... Well, that's what they deserve.
Yeah, well, I totally get that. I think prison does exactly what it says on the tin. And I think if you commit a crime and it's, you know, that you've got to go to prison, you go to prison. My personal opinion is that prison, no matter whether you have a flat screen television in your cell or no matter what you have in there, you're taken away from the people that you love and your freedom is taken away from you. That is what prison is. A lot of people, I'm sure, in Dublin and in other cities around the world would love to see us breaking rocks and, you know, doing whatever it
took. Working in the chain gang,
exactly.
Yeah.
Hard kind of labour and that. And if that's what you know, demean what punishment is, well, fair enough. I think it's your freedom is taken away from you. You're conditioned. You're told when to eat when you eat. Your door is shut at 7:30 in the evening. You'll get people that'll call it a holiday camp. I mean, and I say in a play that I'm doing in, you know, I don't know any holiday camps where you get locked up at 7:30 in the evening or any holiday camps where you've got to, you know, take a poo in front of somebody, you know, that's a stranger or any holiday camp where you only get to see the people that you love for a half an hour a week. And I mean, if they're the type of holidays that you're going on, I think you need to reevaluate and go somewhere else, like, you know. So prison does do what it says on the tin, but I firmly believe that anybody that is going to go to prison for the first time, who's never been in trouble before, who's going to have a criminal record, who's going to go for a job and people say, you've got a criminal record, the job is not, you know, open to you anymore, especially semi-state jobs or government jobs, I think there needs to be another avenue to bring these people down to avoid, especially if it's if it's something really serious, I get it, you've got to go to prison. But I mean, if it's something misdemeanor like shoplifting or trespassing or taxing insurance on your car or something like that, we need to have another avenue to take them down.
Yeah.
And I don't think prison is the way to do it. The tagging system, which is in England, which is very, very effective, is not here. I don't understand why that is either, which will, you know, give availability to prisoners that are on the end of their sentence or are doing small sentences, that they have a tag, they have the machine at home and they've got a curfew of 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock that they've got to be indoors and can't leave the house the next morning till, say, 10 o'clock and they sign on the police station maybe once a week or twice a week or three times a week and they're kind of kept under observation, so to speak. That hasn't been here either. So that these are reasons and valid reasons that I personally believe that will free up the space in the prison system at the moment. There was talk of building a big prison a good few years ago. That never happened. People say, oh, if you build a bigger prison, you're going to get more prisoners. I don't think that. I think it's better to be looking at it than looking for it. And in my opinion, it's the same thing in the prison system all the time. And I mean, there's some really good governors in prisons that are trying to do the best that they can. But I mean, the reality is on the government's end of things is that if nothing changes, nothing changes.
Yeah.
And they're not changing anything.
But even the model that you described, that you said yourself and a few friends had talked about, like that model already exists in Ireland, but not for prisoners. It's what you're talking about is kind of wraparound services.
Of course.
I remember where I don't live in Dublin anymore, but where I used to live, Peter McVerry Trust bought a house up the road from us, and that's what it was. It was basically people who were trying to get back up on their own two feet, but were kind of put into this house, living together, and then the services all came with them. So it taught them how to live on their own. It taught them the basic things like hygiene and cooking and cleaning and how to get by. It taught them how to fill out kind of forms, you know, for kind of for benefits or entitlements. It taught them how to get a job, all of those types of things. Like it was... So the model exists, it's out there, but yeah, we just don't do it for prisoners.
100%. And I know Peter McVerry personally, and he does a lot of really, really good work, and that kind of is the model, but there's nothing... Look, there's places like Pace that prisoners get out to, before being released and go up and while they're in prison and go to these places and come back. But I think they really need to get the living skills together for when they get out. I mean, a lot of prisoners, when they get out after receiving a long sentence, it's very, very alien, and it's very frightening for a lot of people. And I think to be in an environment where you're with other people in that setting before you actually get filtered back out into mainstream society, you're then living a flat with someone who's been in the same position that could be your peer, that's maybe out 12 months before you and kind of is your big brother system that you kind of hold his hand for a while. And then when you get up on your feet, you mentor and help someone else that's coming in kind of after you. I think it's an amazing idea that they're just not taking a chance on.
So what was the longest time you spent in prison?
The last time I was in, I got a 5.5 year sentence with a review after 3.5 years. And that was the longest one I was in.
What was it like? What was that like coming out? I know you said that you took the opportunity there to get your life in order, right? So you'd gone onto the 12-step program, so you were kind of a different person coming out. At the same time, how daunting was it when you walked out?
Very.
3.5 years have passed outside.
Yeah, well, I hadn't been in Ireland for nearly 6 years because I'd been on the run in London for a few years before that. And it's very daunting, and it's very frightening, and it's kind of like a whole new world. You don't know what's going to happen, where you're going to end up. I just knew that the last time for me personally, when I got out, is that I genuinely and sincerely had enough, and I wanted to change. And I think change comes from the individual, excuse me, themselves. I mean, if you want it bad enough, you'll get it. You know, if you get out with a kind of a willy-nilly attitude, sure, look, you know, whatever, if I fall back into the same company and go to the same places that I've been and kind of do the same things that I'm doing, it's inevitable that I'm going to end up back in through that revolving door, seeing the same prison officers, going to the same prison officers in reception and going, are it yourself again, like, you know. But I made a difference not to do that. And I've probably been in prison more times since I got out doing things with prisoners, like doing, you know, comedy workshops or doing speeches or going in with a 12-step program or going in with plays or whatever it might be, and just trying to give a little bit back, like, you know.
Well, listen, as Willa said, if your holidays consist of seeing your loved ones for half an hour a week and going to the toilet in front of strangers, you probably need to look at a different holiday.
Can I just say before we go, I actually have an amazing play on in the Ambassador from the 17th to the 20th of April, and it's called The Examination, and it's all about the mental health and welfare of the prison system in Dublin. It's two people in it, myself and Gary Keegan. Gary Keegan was an ex-victim of crime who was mugged, and I'm an ex-prisoner, so he gives his view, I give my view, and there's lots of stuff in between. It's an award-winning play.
The Examination from the 17th until
the 20th in the Ambassador,
20th.
And that's with Broken Talkers.
Yeah. Perfect, of April. Listen, Willa White, it has been a real pleasure, as always. Thanks a lot for joining.
Thank you so much, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.